Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 356 of the podcast. And since this goes out on 1st of January 2018, Happy New Year! And wishing you all a creative and successful 2018 ahead, and I hope we can continue the writer's journey together. So today I'm looking back at my themes and goals and failures for 2017, as well as some overarching focus for 2018 and my specific goals, with the intent that it helps you with looking back at your creative year and also forward into what you want to achieve. And I always put this stuff out in public, so it's all written down on the blog. The 2017 stuff is on the 31st of December, and all my goals are on today, the 1st of January, blog post and show notes, so you can always go check there for evidence and to add your own, because several people join me every year and document their own goals there. So yeah, looking forward to that. We're skipping a few segments this week to go straight into your emails, tweets and comments this week. Monica Bede says, I truly enjoyed your wonderful podcast on The Healthy Writer, eagerly awaiting my copy of the book, which should now have arrived. Fantastic. Roberta Skeeky, listening on the way to see manatees in Crystal River in Florida, which sounds lovely. Gladys says, thank you so much for the podcast with Douglas Smith on writing short fiction. Even though I write nonfiction, I found many of his comments and suggestions applicable and valuable. I listened to the podcast while walking on the beach in Daytona Beach, Florida. A couple of Florida people here. Fantastic. Thank you, Gladys. Amy Cesari is listening to the Healthy Writer episode on the treadmill, running in the garage with her hubby's 1969 Super B muscle car and the forest beyond, which is lovely. Diana L. Gunn is listening to the podcast on healthy writers while doing her own wrist exercise routine. Excited to get some new tips. And A.L. Michael says, listening to the podcast on a snowy way to work, chilly but inspired. Yes, everyone stay safe in the cold if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. There's a lot of snow around. And finally, M.E. Beckwith says, this week's podcast about being a healthy writer was so inspiring. We can take control of our health, which is awesome. Yes, and thanks to everyone who sent pictures. There were lots and lots this week, lots of Christmas pictures and happy holidays and everything. And especially a big thank you to everyone who sent pictures of themselves holding my print books in their hands that they got for Christmas presents, which is awesome. I feel very grateful, and I love seeing my books in the wild. So thank you for that. Thank you for everyone who tweeted and emailed. And of course, remember, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen. Email me, Joanna at The Creative Pen, with what you're doing while you're listening to the show. So a quick introduction today. Today's show is sponsored by The Healthy Writer. This is a bit of a theme at the moment, don't you think, over the new year. It's out now in ebook and print formats. Reduce your pain, improve your physical and mental health, and build a writing career for the long term. Go on, turn a new page in your health journey in 2018. The Healthy Writer, available on all the usual ebook and print stores. Thanks to everyone supporting the show on Patreon. Thanks to Julia Way for upping her pledge, and to Cheryl Rogers. I really do appreciate the Patreon support. Like the tweets and emails, it demonstrates you enjoy the show and want it to continue. So thank you to everyone supporting the show. And of course, I did the Patreon only supporters Q&A thing before Christmas, and we'll be getting into January in a couple of weeks. So on Patreon, you can support the show with just a couple of dollars a month. And since Patreon reversed the issue about fees, even those small amounts make every bit of difference. So less than a coffee a month and you'll get that extra monthly Q&A audio. OK, and you can support the show at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Right, let's get on with the roundups. So this is a roundup of my 2017 writing goals and lessons learnt at the end of the year. So I was having lunch with an old friend recently and actually reminisced about the days when I used to clock watch at the day job I hated, when every minute just crawled past. And it's quite different now because the year seems to turn so fast and time runs away. And my main concern is how to make more of it all and how to write all the stories in my head and how to help and empower more authors, how to travel and see more amazing places and how to read and watch and listen and experience more. And I don't know about you, but you know, I just want to do more. So it's all about, I guess, having to cut out things in order to achieve the things we want to. And I'll come on to that in the 2018 goals. But it has been another amazing year, and I continue to be grateful for every day I can make a living with my writing. So thank you so much for being a part of my journey through buying my books and courses, using my affiliate links on the website, supporting the podcast on Patreon, coming to my events, and through spreading the word about the site and my books and courses. So I hope to continue being a part of your author journey as we move into 2018. Okay, so I'm going to consider some of my sort of overarching themes from 2017 first, and then I'll get into the goals that I had and whether I met them or why I fell short. So my first big theme is the rise and rise of collaboration. So I've co-written books before. I wrote Risen Gods with Jay Thorne in 2015, and we also did a sort of meta non-fiction book on co-writing a book. And it felt experimental a few years back, but in 2017, collaboration and co-writing has really come of age. Indies are doing short-term projects, but also longer-term collaborations within new worlds or non-fiction collaborative series. So, of course, Johnny, Sean and Dave at Sterling and Stone blazed an early trail with collaboration. And now Michael Anderley is leading a merry band of writers in his Cthurian universe. Michael set up the 20 Books to 50K Facebook group, which I'm sure many of you know. And they are now doing live events. They did the first one in Las Vegas in November, and I'll be at the London event in February 2018. And of course, Jay Thorne, along with Zach Bohannon, is actually doing Authors on a Train and helping authors co-write now, which is awesome. Also this year, two of the major problems of co-writing have been solved. So it's easier to co-write these days. Bundle Rabbit has a collaboration engine for payment splitting instead of one of the authors having to do the accounting. And that is a huge deal. BookFunnel allows the management of the ARCs, the advanced reader copies, and also sideloading of ebooks, and now works together with Sells and PayHip, and I think PayHip anyway, I can't remember, lots of other ways to sell direct. So essentially, we are getting the all the tools we need to do this. I've taken collaboration to a new level in 2017, and this year I co-wrote 5 books. 4 of those were not even in my 2017 goals, which is kind of hilarious. So I co-wrote The Healthy Writer with Dr. Ewan Lawson, which just came out. And that wasn't planned this time last year. American Demon Hunter's Sacrifice, which I co-wrote with Jay Thorne, Zach Bohannon and Lindsay Baroka on the train from Chicago to New Orleans in May, which was amazing. That was planned this time last year. And then also I've done 3 Summerfield Village sweet romance novels with my mum under the pen name Penny Appleton, which I'll come back to in a minute. But basically, they were not planned at all. I knew my mum was writing, but didn't really know what that would turn into. I've actually learned a lot from editing other people's work, and also about writing more with other people's opinions and ideas in mind, which I guess is the collaboration bit. I've learned to let stuff go and relax a bit, to not be such a control freak or something like that. I mean, it is interesting with my mum. There are things that I put my foot down with, and there are other things that I'm like, yeah, that's not a big deal. I'll let that go. And some ideas that I really care about, and others that I incorporate into the story. So I think I've learned to be a bit gentler with other people, and perhaps also with myself. I've also never been very good at celebrating my successes, and publishing a book now is a bit of a non-event, to be honest. I love the creation process, and as soon as the book is out in the world, I'm on to the next one, and I'm always excited about
whatever the next book is. But through the co-writing, I've been able to celebrate with my co-authors. And also, for example, you know, taking my mum out for champagne when our books come out and taking pictures and seeing the delight on her face rekindles my own excitement at another addition to my body of work. So that's really cool. Collaborative projects are common in other industries, music, gaming, film and TV in particular. And we all already collaborate with, you know, when we work with professional editors, cover designers, marketing people, you know, graphic designers, website people. Basically, we already do this, but I think we're going to see more and more collaboration and co-writing in the indie community in 2018. I think it's a big theme. Also, one of the things, and I wanted to put this here, I wanted to call back to it for the sake of a roundup, but the indie author business model has stabilised, at least in the mature digital markets of US, UK, Australia and Canada. Now, I talked about this back in podcast episode 347, so I'm not going to go into it in detail, but basically we have everything we need to run a global, digital, scalable online business as author entrepreneurs, with a business model that is working for more and more authors, which is pretty exciting. But this stabilization means everyone is a publisher now, and there are more creators out there and more coming. But of course, we should celebrate this because every person who writes a book will read and buy far more books than they will ever produce. So we can actually become a self-sustaining industry if we encourage everyone to write a book. But the mature markets do feel a little crowded in some genres, and we're in this phase before mobile and digital really take off in developing digital markets. So it does feel like a calm period before the next big shift, a time to bed down your processes, grow your backlist by writing more, build relationships, make sure you have sustainable health and creative practices. Make the most of your intellectual property by expanding into other products like print, and look to position yourself for the next phase of growth. This levelling out is reflected in the stabilisation of my own business model, but as I am a change junkie, I will need to mix it up in 2018 or I'm going to get bored, and I am feeling the itch already. My processes are now pretty honed, and I really am, I'll talk about 2018 soon, but you know, I really am kind of looking for the next stage of my own career. It's also good to remember that companies that don't change with the times find themselves dying off, so we can't become complacent. There will continue to be shakeups within publishing, as we are now essentially a tech industry and the reinvention never stops. Fun times indeed. Another theme is the changing entertainment environment. So I wrote an article last month about how I read and how I buy books and how that has changed over the years. I've also been reflecting on my own entertainment preferences over the holiday period, looking back over the year for what has stood out for me and what I have raved about to others. I have been especially talking about The Crown, especially season 2, which is a Netflix series, apparently one of the most expensive series ever. And of course, being British, I'm well aware of the royal family, and I guess I'm a royalist. I mean, I do love the royal family. I think they do great things for our tourist industry. And the Queen works super hard. I mean, she really does. But I've been raving about season 2 because of the masterful way the creative team told the family drama. And if you write memoir, it is incredible because they weave the idea of what is known to be true with storytelling, also character development with plot, which especially with the character of Philip, I think they've done incredibly well, and foreshadowing what I know is ahead based on the history of the royal family. So I've for writers and people who want to write memoir, I've been really recommending The Crown. I also love The Handmaid's Tale, Game of Thrones, American Gods, Stranger Things 2, Jessica Jones and Bright, which only came out last week and I really enjoyed. These are mostly dark fantasy stories that I can sink into and also share an experience with my husband. And this is something that I think is very important because most of us as readers have an experience on our own, and family experiences or relationship experiences often need to be more than a book. And Jonathan and I don't read the same types of books, and we don't listen really to the same audiobooks either. So, you know, by having family time and together time, watching things together is important. So I also realized this year that I used to know when books were coming out. Like I would say, oh yeah, the whatever new book by I guess I did know when Dan Brown was coming out. But I used to be more aware of pre-orders and launch dates for books. But now I know when my favourite series box set is dropping on Netflix or Amazon Prime. And I can either be ashamed to admit this or embrace it as part of the change in the entertainment environment in general, because it's not just me. And this is going to shape my 2018 because I'm returning to the idea of adapting my stories into screenplays so that perhaps they can reach more audiences and potentially start thinking beyond even just the 2D screen or the flat screen into what might be coming for augmented reality, virtual reality, gaming, all of that type of thing. So more on this in the 2018 goals. I have read a lot this year. My novel of the year is The Power by Naomi Alderman, which is fantastic. And I've put some other books, listed some other books on the website. But I've also listened to a lot of nonfiction and bought a lot of print nonfiction. And I also bought a reading chair. So I will sit in my reading chair and, you know, to get away from my desk. I have spent a lot of time at my desk and I also write in a cafe. So I wanted a dedicated place to read and I have put that into place. But things have definitely changed. So question for you, how have you consumed content in 2017 and how is that different to previous years? Okay, so how did I do with my specific 2017 goals? First of all, the Creative Pen website and podcast. The podcast is now heading towards episode 360, and I've even done a few in-between episodes focused on the author business. The audience continues to grow, and we're now at over 2.2 million downloads. So thank you for listening. Thank you also for all your Patreon support, and thank you to the corporate sponsors we have in Kobo Writing Life, Ingram Spark, and Drafter Digital, all companies I use myself and recommend. So I am, at the beginning of 2017, I said I would redesign the Creative Pen. I did create a test environment and start trying out some other themes. But to be honest, after almost 10 years, it's my 10-year anniversary in 2018, it is such a huge piece of work that I backed away, preferring to keep creating new things rather than revamp the old. So we added an old post warning to articles over 3 years old, as well as focusing on creating landing pages and also using scheduling to send traffic to evergreen articles on pages as opposed to older posts. We've done quite a bit on branding and colours and are revamping the YouTube channel and the older posts. So this is an important thing because as technology moves on, we all have to review the tools we use because new providers emerge offering better functionality. And this was the focus of the first couple of weeks of December. We moved email providers to ConvertKit. And I am an affiliate of ConvertKit because it's awesome. And the reason I moved over is because it has the best options for both new authors and established businesses. So if you want to see what I'm doing, I actually recorded a new set of tutorials on how to set up your website, how to set up a theme, a mobile optimized theme, and also how to set up your email list. You can find that at thecreativepen.com/author website. This will make my email easier to manage going forward, and I'm really excited about that. So I did cut down my speaking in 2017, but I still managed to speak in Australia and New Zealand, Scotland, London and Oregon in the USA. I will be cutting down my speaking even more in 2018. It's one of those things that I appreciate so much, the ability to do it. And when I do it, I say, I should do this more. In the heat of the moment, I'm like, I should do more speaking. And then I come away and I'm exhausted and I realize that that time has gone and I just find it too much. And as I said, I want to create more and I feel like speaking is such a short, you know, I can give benefit to people, but it doesn't last long enough. So, you know, I want to write more books, basically. Okay, other things I said I would do. Curl Up Press. We set up Curl Up Press, a small press for the print publishing side of things. It's not open to submissions, and I have no intention of publishing other people except those I co-write with, at least for the moment. we moved over to Ingram Spark and removed all of the extended distribution from CreateSpace and now use CreateSpace with Ingram Spark. I'm also using KDP Print for the Sweet Romance. We also added new formats like workbooks and large print for the Sweet Romance. So there are two print editions for the Penny Appleton books. There's an ebook, there's a normal size print, and then there's a large print. So that's pretty cool. I will be doing a blog post on large print soon. We have a website, curluppress.com, and Jonathan did some courses on intellectual property rights and contracts. And we've really learned a lot about intellectual property rights this year, which is fantastic. Feel much more empowered in that area. Yes, what else? Okay, nonfiction books as Joanna Penn. I did How to Market a Book 3rd Edition, which turned out to be a much bigger job than expected. It took about 3 times as long to do it as I thought it would because so much had changed, and that was fascinating. So that came out around July 2017. So I would probably expect to do another one in 2019, maybe 2020, and things will probably have changed again. I also managed to get the audiobook editions of The Successful Author Mindset, How to Make a Living with Your Writing, and How to Market a Book, the 3rd edition, all out in audio. They were produced professionally, so I just proofed it. But those all made their costs back pretty quickly. So thank you if you bought any of the audiobooks. And of course, you can check those out on Audible and the website. So I won't be doing any more fiction audio for the short term, at least. I'm going to be focusing more on the non-fiction audio as I'm getting that investment back very fast. Fiction listeners are price and length sensitive and are used to professional actors narrating fiction, which means the quality needs to be extremely high, whereas non-fiction listeners often just want useful information and generally aren't price or length sensitive. So shorter audiobooks, which non-fiction usually is, are cheaper to produce, so you can make your money back faster. So I'm definitely not necessarily doing any more fiction audio for 2018. I shall review the situation as time goes on. The Healthy Writer is now out and co-written with Dr. Ewan Lawson, and I'm very proud of it, and thank you to everyone. We did hit some bestseller list. We did get our orange banner in the Australian store, and I said to Ewan, I was like, this actually makes you an internationally best-selling author, which is cool. Unfortunately, I'm having a lot of problem with my Facebook ads account at the moment. I've been shut down twice in the last 2 weeks. Somebody tried to hack my account, so I haven't been able to do Facebook ads. So it's kind of hilarious to do a launch without the ad platform that I've been using. But there you go. But The Healthy Writer has been another one of my nonfiction books this year. I've also been much more healthy this year, so I'm going to continue that in 2018. I did commit to doing a hardback premium print journal in 2017. I did investigate this to the point of choosing the cover material, but what I wanted would have been really expensive. The lie flat aspect, you know, if you open the book and then it lies flat, that actually makes a book very pricey, and that is non-negotiable in a journal that I would personally use. I might have gone ahead anyway with something, but then I discovered that journals, especially plain paper journals, which is what I like, are counted as stationery, not books, so they attract VAT in the UK, meaning the finances would have been a right pain. So I decided against it. I personally use and recommend Moleskine and Lucasterm journals, but I will be having Joel Friedlander, the book designer, on in 2018 to talk about the premium journal he has just produced. So it clearly can be done, just not easily. And it's interesting because Johnny Dumas came on the show in January 2017 to talk about his journal. And then I heard Pat Flynn on Smart Passive Income talk about failing to do a journal like me. So it's kind of interesting how, depending on your guidelines as to what you actually want, that will really depend on whether you can do it. So, thriller and dark fantasy fiction as J.F. Penn. Possibly the biggest realization for me this year came in New Orleans when Lindsay Baroka said to me, "You know you're a fantasy author, right?" I was like, "What? What do you mean? I'm a thriller writer." And she's like, "Yeah, right. You can be a fantasy thriller writer. That's completely fine, or a thriller writer with fantasy elements. But one of the biggest issues with being an indie author writing cross-genre is not knowing the right place to put our books and falling down the gaps between established genres. So I write what I'm inspired to write. I very much do not control my muse when it comes to fiction. And so I write on the edge of thriller, dark fantasy, supernatural crime. You could call some of it Christian fantasy, even a touch of horror in parts. But all of my stories have aspects that are not technically real. So perhaps this does put me more into fantasy than thriller. And let's face it, every thriller fest, I am added to the panel with the witches and the shifters, even though I'm not writing witches or shifters yet. So I'm still trying to decide whether to redo my JF Penn brand with a fantasy edge as opposed to a thriller vibe, or whether I just keep writing and see what happens along the way. It's tough to know what to do, something I will be pondering in 2018. But one thing is for sure, I don't fit in a box. Other highlights include I was a finalist in the Thrillerfest Awards for Best Ebook Original for Destroyer of Worlds, and my friend and wonderful writer James Scott Bell won. But hey, I can now call myself an award-nominated author. And I wrote earlier this year about my conflicting thoughts on wanting to win an award, the trials of comparisonitis, and the need for validation. I published End of Days, Arcane number 9, which I particularly enjoyed the serpent aspect of that. I travelled on the Amtrak from Chicago to New Orleans and co-wrote American Demon Hunter's Sacrifice with Jay Thorne, Zach Bahannon and Lindsay Baroka. My short story, The Dark Queen, was published in the Field of Fear anthology, which was a paid story. That's my fourth paid short story. So those, I guess, are professionally published in some way. I published Map of Shadows, the first in the Map Walkers dark fantasy thriller series that came out just before Christmas, and really happy with the way that is going so far. Because cross-genre marketing is so difficult, I decided at the beginning of 2017 to start a new website, supernaturalthrillers.com, and then decided against launching it at the last minute because I just didn't have the time. And then in Oregon in October, or November, whenever it was, I returned to the idea of a genre destination site, possibly around dark travel or something else other than jfpenn.com. But, you know, and this idea will not go away. I've been thinking about another podcast, but then I just keep thinking that I'd be better off writing more for now. So I've been adding articles that relate to my books on jfpenn.com, which has resulted in growth in traffic. So that's quite good, and more email signups and more people finding my work. So I'm going to continue that in 2018. The sweet romance fiction as Penny Appleton. So although I've been talking about co-writing with my mum openly for some time, I only revealed our pseudonym recently as I wanted to build up clean also boards. But now we have three contemporary sweet romances and a box set. We've done ebook print and large print editions, and I'll be doing a big roundup in April once we've been writing and publishing for a year. But it's as you would expect for a new author. I've set up a new website, pennyappleton.com, which is what I demonstrate in my tutorial. I also set up a Facebook page, and essentially all we've done is KDP Select with some free days and some Facebook ads, BookBub ads, and an occasional free Booksy promo. But it's not an active brand in that we're not doing newsletters or social media or any other kind of promotion. I have too much going on with my two main author names. So Penny has not set the world on fire in terms of sales, but it's only year one. And if you came to me as a first-time author and said, oh, well, I've written three sweet romances under this author name, but I'm not making enough money or any money, I'd be like, yeah, go write some more, spend some more time building up some readers. So that's what we're doing. It's making my mum happy, and I'm enjoying the challenge of writing in a different genre. So check out Penny Appleton on Amazon, because it is KDP Select, and also check it out at pennyappleton.com. And if anyone would like to review any sweet romance when you're not in KDP Select, you're welcome to email me for a review copy. Okay, so health, which I think is really important to talk about, and I'm going to keep focusing on that over time because we want to do this for the long term, people. So Writing the Healthy Writer has been a fantastic project. It's really helped focus my mind on my physical health. I often write nonfiction because I need to learn about it. And this year, I've definitely progressed health-wise. Like writing, it's a lifelong journey, not something you do once and get it sorted forever, but something you practice every day. So I have maintained a consistent yoga practice this year and also have been doing a lot of walking. Obviously, the canal path, which we do a lot, and also have done the 50 kilometer, which is an ultra marathon on the Cotswold Way. And we also did a multi-day walking holiday in the Dolomites in northern Italy. With the help of a hypnotherapist, I have broken the back of sugar addiction and have really changed my diet in the second half of the year. I've also started working with a coach around some of my other health habits. So I'm really looking forward to 2018, where I've really done a lot of work this year on my health, and next year I'm going to take it further. So check out The Healthy Writer, which has my letter to sugar, amongst other things, and lots of tips from me and Dr. Ewan Lawson. Okay, so money goals. There has been growth in the business this year, and I posted a little graph for the last six years on the blog post that goes with this. But essentially, it has not been a step change. It's been a tiny step up, but as it has not been a sort of big jump, a doubling, which it was between 2015 and 2016. So I'll break down my the income and book sales, etc., in May, which is after my end of tax year, which I do every year. But I do continue to be grateful every day to be living at a time in history where a writer can make a multi-six-figure income online without a publisher. So amazing times. And thank you again for being part of my journey. Okay, so that's me done. How did you do with your 2017 goals? You're welcome to come over to the blog and write them down so we can all share and celebrate together. So moving on to my thoughts and goals for 2018. So 2018 marks the 10th year of the Creative Pen. I started the site in December 2008 to share my journey as a writer and try to help others with my lessons learned. That underlying reason hasn't changed, even though the publishing environment is radically different these days. I also aim to empower creatives to get their words out into the world and to make a living writing, because that's what has changed my life, and I know it can change yours too. My aim is to help more writers and authors in 2018 and begin the next 10 years of our journey together. So every 1st of January, I post my goals for the year. And this year, I'm going to start with some overarching principles, followed by some more specific goals for each author name and aspect of my business. I hope it will help you consider what your goals might be, and I'd love for you to share them in the comments. So my first theme is choose your filters. So I'm currently reading WTF? What's the future and why it's up to us by Tim O'Reilly, who is a well-known futurist and tech guy. It's a great book as it looks back at the history of the internet and technology and then extrapolates it forward into the future, integrating new technologies along the way. And Tim uses the letters WTF as a lens, because you can use it in a shocked and apprehensive manner, in the way that you might have thought it stood for, or you can use it in a curious and wondering manner. And this can apply to a lot of our world right now. And as Tim says, quote, "We must commit to building something new, strange to our past selves, but better if we commit to making it so," end quote. So we can choose what to focus on. He also talks about the new kinds of magic that are slowly fading into the ordinary. This is true for authors, because when I started my site in 2008, there was no international Kindle, no mainstream market for ebooks, no international print on demand, no digital audiobook market, no ability to easily reach readers. The iPhone was brand new, podcasting was still in its earliest days, and back then, I couldn't see how I could make a living online. So really, we live in this incredible world, but we end up, with this new kinds of magic fading into the ordinary. So what are you taking for granted that is actually incredible? And if you change your filter on the world, you could realize how incredibly fortunate we are to be living at this time in history. So despite the negative news of 2017, we live in an incredibly abundant world with possibilities around every corner, if only you look out for them. Our brains scan the environment for what to pay attention to, so it's your job to make sure you train it to look for opportunities and the positive side of life. So in 2018, it's time to take the things that have made you angry or frustrated or negative and turn them into positive, creative action. If you have news feeds or social media or people who make you feel consistently negative, it might be time for a spring clean of those influences. Start reading different books and blogs, listen to different podcasts, although I hope you consider mine to be positive and useful and we'll continue listening. So here's one of my own examples. As much as I appreciate Facebook for the social connection and the ability to reach readers with advertising, I removed it from my phone over 6 weeks ago and have felt all the better for that. Apparently, this is known as social cooling. Yes, it has a name, so it must be a thing. I read Wired Magazine, Singularity Hub, The Verge, Digital Trends. I read self-publishing advice from the Alliance of Independent Authors, which is skewed towards positive action rather than moaning about what's wrong with the latest whatever algorithm changes. I listen to Exponential Technologies podcast, which gives me my positive tech focus. And I read or listen to nonfiction books on self-development and positive thinking pretty much all the time. I also feel like for me, we've all had some political issues in the last year or so in Europe and in America and in other places in the world. And my anger over Brexit and the political edge of borders sort of ran over in Map of Shadows. Borders is a huge theme in the book. But I feel like I was able to exorcise that anger. And now I'm ready to move forward. And positively, I'm just a positive person. I can't help it. And I can't dwell on the negative side of politics. I have to be looking at the positives. So looking forward to what opportunities that might bring. One opportunity is if the pound keeps plunging, then, you know, those of us in the UK who make US dollars do quite well. There's always a silver lining in some way. And then I know some of you might consider that a filter means you will live in a bubble. And of course, there was all that issue around the bubble you live in. But when everyone was talking about the issues of bubbles, I did go out of my bubble and try and have a look in other people's bubbles. And I was like, no, I'm happy in mine. So you create your life day by day. So I'm choosing a positive, happy and creative bubble. Join me. But what about you? Do you have any influences you need to change in 2018? And how will you choose your filters so the year is a positive, creative one for your writing life? Okay, so my second theme is kind of a more practical one, which is around using the power of batching. So when people ask me how I get everything done, my answer always involves scheduling. I schedule my time way in advance, and that includes my writing time, as well as business meetings, social events, holidays, and more. I use Google Calendar, but the tool is less important than the actual planning and blocking out of time for creative tasks, as well as the rest of life. Don't feel guilty about not having time for writing. If you feel that sense of guilt while you're doing other things, get out your calendar and block out some time when you will write. Then let that guilt go. And when that time comes, actually show up for that appointment with yourself and the blank page. So I have been effectively scheduling for a long time now, but in 2018, I am going to take this further. So I spoke at Youpreneur Summit in November, which was fantastic, and listened to Uber podcasters, John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire and Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income, talk about how they use batching. So John Lee Dumas does a daily podcast and batches all his interviews for the month into a few days. And Pat does the same for his interview shows. So previously, up until now, I've been managing my time in two main chunks: mornings for creative work and production, like writing first drafts, editing, researching, you know, reading books that go into research process. And the afternoons have been for the podcast, blogging, business admin, email, marketing, interviews, speaking prep, and other things that are kind of more, admin focused. But I've found that actually to write fiction in the most effective way, I need to sink into that world for an extended period. So when I did Map of Shadows, I really did that first draft in a concentrated month, which was much better for me. So I would rather batch several months worth of interviews into a week or two and then have a couple of months with no distractions. Of course, I will still do daily business maintenance, which for me is still a lot of email and obviously approving content for the site and all the usual things, but it would be a lot shorter than some of the stuff I'm doing right now. I will still be doing the weekly introductions, but those are always a lot shorter than the interviews. So, because of course, when you do interviews, there's sort of the a half an hour before when you set things up, and then there's the interview, and then there's a half an hour later. So an hour interview or a 45 minute interview often turns into 2 hours of time. So that is what I'm planning. So I'll be batching similar tasks together and scheduling my time differently. So how could this idea of batching help you in your writing life? For example, the split between writing and marketing is one every author has to manage wherever you are on the journey. If you have 1 day per week to write, or 4 hours or whatever, could you dedicate 3 of those per month to writing and then spend the whole extra day on marketing rather than trying to split your time each week between those two things? And if your goal is to write more in 2018, then schedule your time right now for the rest of the year. It might sound extreme, but how we spend our days is how we spend our lives. So how are you spending yours? Okay. Then the next thing is cultural trends that might affect indies in 2018. Okay, so those are some of my sort of themes, and now I'll get into my more specific goals. So the Creative Pen website and podcast will continue. The podcast will continue weekly, plus the occasional in-betweenisode. So expect more Monday fun in 2018. The podcast continues to be the cornerstone of how I share my author journey, and I hope it continues to help you along your own path. So basically, on with the show. I will be revamping the Creative Pen around pathways for people through the site. For example, a first-time fiction author has a different journey to a non-fiction author with 3 books looking to make a living writing. So I'll be doing more landing pages, but also more cheat sheet style resources like the new author website and email cheat sheet and tutorials, which you can find at thecreativepen.com/author website. That is a kind of more trying to curate the content, because we have thousands and thousands and thousands of things on the Creative Pen now. I'll also be segmenting my email list so I can serve you better within those pathways and directing people to the material that will help them the most. So if you're on my email list, you will be getting some emails that will hopefully help me to help you more around what you need. So hopefully that will be useful. I will be focusing on YouTube. I've had a YouTube channel since 2009. It currently has over 17,000 subscribers and over 1.2 million views. Not bad for a mostly passive channel, although some of you will be listening to this on YouTube. So hello, YouTube. But I can definitely do better given the amount of long form content the site has now based on interviews. So we're going to be doing 2 shorter videos on YouTube every week, usually 5 minutes or less, and focused on writing, craft, or business. I'll record some direct to camera, but many will be from existing videos to make better use of existing content. I'll also be adding the videos directly into Facebook as well. And one thing that astounded me yesterday when I uploaded a video into Facebook, which was me walking along the canal talking about the healthy writer, was the captions. So what happens, I loaded the video and it said, do you want to add captions? Press the auto caption button. And what it generated, presumably with an AI, because there wasn't someone sitting there doing it, was pretty much very, very good. And all I did was just go through and make a few updates, and those captions were done. That is incredible. So yeah, definitely voice recognition on Facebook and video is definitely getting better. So fascinating stuff. So yeah, definitely more YouTube this year. I'll also be doing more mini courses on Teachable. So How to Write a Novel is doing well. It's evergreen and continues to sell slowly but surely as people reach the point they need it. You can find that at thecreativepen.com/write-novel if you want to write a novel this year. I'll also be adding some smaller lecture style mini courses around productivity, money, author business plans, how to write nonfiction, and possibly some other topics. We shall see. So nonfiction as Joanna Penn. I'm mostly focusing my energy on the website, podcast and YouTube, as I mentioned, but I'm still intending to manage a couple of nonfiction books. How to Write a Novel. So based on the course, I've got a draft book, but it needs editing and then obviously publishing. But I want to get that out this year. Also, How to Write Nonfiction, since people keep asking for it and I write a lot of nonfiction. The Shadow Book, which I've mentioned before, which is really about tapping into the darker side of ourselves. And, you know, that's, well, it's such a big topic. And I did make a start on this in December. I've been reading a lot of books on the shadow, and but it's quite deep and meaningful, to be honest, and it has no shape. So I think it's a longer term project that needs to marinate for longer, and it will be all the better for marinating. So that will just continue. It's unlikely to be out in 2018, but I will continue to work on it, and I'll keep it on my goals as a work in progress. Also, more non-fiction audiobooks. As I mentioned, I just need to edit some of the older books and get them recorded. So I definitely want to do the public speaking book, Public Speaking for Authors, Creatives and Other Introverts. A lot of people buy that book and find it useful. And I think more and more authors are doing speaking. So that will be out. I also want to do Career Change and some of the others. So that'll be fun. So thriller and dark fantasy fiction as J.F. Penn. So I'm writing it down. My bigger goal on the writing craft side is that I want to win an award. It might not be this year, but as that is pretty much outside of my control. But to win an award, I need to be a better writer. So I'll be going deeper into craft and story and also submitting to more awards, because you have to be in it to win it. And of course, I did make it to the finals of the ITW Awards, and I have realised that, you know, and indies are winning awards now, so we shouldn't shy away. So basically, I think we should all submit to more awards. Join organisations and submit to the awards that are actually industry recognised, not just any awards, because there's lots of scammy awards. Like if you have to pay to enter, that seems a little dodgy. But yeah, I definitely am. I have entered again the ITW Awards, and I will be looking at some other options. So that is one thing. I'll also be thinking about my JF Penn brand and whether I need to pivot more towards fantasy. We'll see. I also, as I mentioned in my 2017 roundup, my entertainment consumption has shifted to a lot more TV and film. Plus, storytelling is paramount in those environments. So it fits with my goal to get better at storytelling. Plus, it's about collaboration, which is something I'm doing more of. So I am revisiting screenwriting in 2018. I've been flirting with screenwriting for probably 4 years now and have even started a couple of adaptations. But this year, I am committing to adapting at least two of my own novels into screenplays and submitting them to film and TV agents, which means I will work through edits as well. The adaptation of the London Psychic trilogy is still being developed by a wonderful screenwriter, so hopefully that will also be finished and submitted this year. I'll also write Arcane Thriller number 10, which will be set between New Orleans and San Francisco. I have an idea. It is shaping up. Matt Walker's 2, the second book in the Matt Walker series, since Map of Shadows has been doing very well. And as we know, you generally need 3 books in a series before you get decent sales on them. I also want to write some more short stories for submission to traditional markets, because Doug Smith's interview a few weeks ago just keeps inspiring me. Possibly London Psychic Book 4, since so many readers have asked for it, but this series falls through so many genre gaps, it's hard to know what it is, which means it's hard to market. But the readers of that series say it's their favourite of all of my books. So I don't know. We shall see. And also, as I said, I'm not planning on doing fiction audiobooks. So I'm waiting to see how 2018 shapes up before I decide what's going on with fiction audio. The Sweet Romance and Penny Appleton. There will be three more books in the Summerfield Village Sweet Romance series, co-written with my mum, plus another box set. Now, she loves writing, and since she's retired, she is prolific and focused. And I do the story structure. I also go over the whole book. So I basically do a full edit. But it doesn't take that long because I've already done the structure. So it's quite a reasonably fast process on my end. Plus, obviously, the publishing and marketing side of things. And plus, we use, you know, professional proofreaders and stuff. But my intention in 2018 is to break even with that author name in year two. So that would be pretty cool because I have obviously invested for cover design, marketing, that type of thing, editing. So health, the practices outlined in The Healthy Writer have helped me a lot, so I'm going to double down. I am scheduling more time for creative rest and play, which for me means regular walking and yoga. And I'm trying to institute weekends, which is something I haven't had for a long time. I have like blocks of time off, but the sort of the weekend thing is something I've struggled with. So I am going to try and do weekends in 2018 and do more exercise, do more reading, that type of thing. I've also booked the Isle of Wight Challenge in May, which is 104 kilometres. That is a double ultra marathon around the island in a weekend. And I'm part of a team. We have 10 creatives so far. So if you want to join our team, you're welcome to email me, joanna@thecreativepen.com. with the sort of title Isle of Wight or something like that, and come join our team. What will happen is we'll be really jolly and nice to each other at the start, and then we'll basically say bye-bye, see you later. Because it you know, after about 25, 30, 40, 50k, people get less jolly. I have also blocked out a week of no meetings per month. And as I said, I'm going to change my batching. So hopefully it'll be even more than that. Plus the whole of December next year, although I didn't quite manage to have it off this year. I did get a lot done. Plus I've scheduled more quiet time. So I'm really hoping the batching method will help me with energy management, as this introvert needs her alone time, as we all know. And especially doing creative work, you know, I want more time to travel for fun and self-development, not for speaking. So I will be at NINC in Florida, but won't be doing anything other than that as a speaker, although I will be attending more events as a participant. So that's cool. Money. I do have investment goals and lifestyle goals that mean I am aiming for a step change in 2018 in terms of income. And yes, that is a step up. I'm waiting to see how that might happen, because it's very interesting when you start thinking about the money aspect. There are certain things you can do just by brute force, you know, put more books out, for example, do more advertising. But if you want a step change, then a lot has to shift. So in 2015, we had a step change when we instituted some more courses and also some more affiliate stuff. So I'm ready for a shift of that magnitude, which is a doubling or more, then I have to think differently. So I'm going to lean into ideas that excite me, because although I'm ambitious around money, I'm also ambitious around meaning and creative goals. So I'm not in this business to create another job. I'm in this business to create. And of course, creating wealth actually provides income within our industry. You know, I'm buying more covers, paying more editors, paying more assistants, you know, putting more money into marketing and companies and giving more. And that's the thing. So I'm really very excited about what's going to happen in 2018. Okay, so I hope you are excited too. What are your specific goals around writing and creative business for 2018? You can always leave them in the comments of the associated show notes. So I hope you enjoyed this roundup of 2017 and a look forward into 2018. And hopefully it's helped you with formulating your own goals for the year. And I hope you'll continue to join me on the podcast for the creative year ahead. So coming up next week, I'll be talking about how to be creative in writing and in business with my friend and creative mentor, Orna Ross. We'll also be back to normal with the segments in the introduction too. So life will be back to normal next week. So happy new year 2018, and let's go get some words on the blank page. Have a wonderful writing week, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.